We want to be able to stay connected with you. You can watch our Sunday services on Facebook, YouTube and our website. You can also listen to them on Spotify, Google Podcasts and Apple iTunes. If you don't have internet access, you can use your dial-in service by calling 028-9227-0922 and listening in. Let's stay connected. Good morning and welcome to our service here in St. Columba's in Dervolgi in the Belsize Road in Lisburn. My name's James and I'm the minister here. You're very welcome as you join us this morning. And even though we are still scattered across our parish and further afield in our own homes, we want to welcome you as we join together as a community of faith to worship a God who we declare, not just declare, but who we know is alive and well. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. That old Easter cry is still true today. As we do often, I want to read some scripture as we begin our service. And today it's from today's appointed Psalm, which is Psalm 31, and we begin at verse 1. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, strong fortress to save me, since you are my rock and my fortress. For the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. And into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. It's a wonderful promise to stand on this morning, isn't it? That the God that we come to worship is the one who is quick to turn his ear to listen to our prayers, is quick to be our fortress and our refuge. And so today, that's what we want to do. We come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word and to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, and by the power of his Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. So let's pray as we begin. Father God, we want to thank you that you are not only our refuge and our rock today, but you are quick to turn your ear to listen to us and to our pleas and to our requests and to our thanksgivings. So Lord, in this place, at this time, we thank you that you are present with us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. At this point, we are going to join together in a song.
Never be discouraged.
One of the really important elements as we come together is that we would confess our sins, that we recognize that we're not perfect, that we are not holy, but the God that we worship is. And so recognizing our own state before him, we come to him confessing that he would forgive us today. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and in faith." Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight, and we are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sin, restore us in his image, to his praise and to his glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. This is the point where we normally invite the children to come forward as we share a little moment for them. The weather's been absolutely fantastic recently. And one of the things that we've been doing, we have, as a family, we've all participated in this, actually. We've been trying to get the rectory garden into some sort of shape that would work and it would look much better than what it is. And so there's been a lot of kind of hard work that's went in. We are putting in flower beds or putting in places where one of those swingy swings could sit or whatever it is that we've been up to. But one of the things that's had to be done is a lot of spade work. A lot of digging has had to be done. And as we've been digging in the garden, we have found lots of different things. Some of them are quite unique, and some of them are very different. Some of them are normal. Lots of stones, some pieces of broken glass. We've also found some massive boulders and stones that have taken me a lot of time, patience, and I must say the patience was running out with some of them to get out. But one of the other things that we found was this. A toy car, a little matchbox car. It's of a Land Rover buried deep down in the soil. It was lost, but now it's been found. And there's a biblical image, isn't it? It was lost, but now it's found. And our Hannah washed it and scrubbed it up a bit so you could actually see what it was like. Maybe you've lived in that house at some stage. Maybe this is your toy Land Rover. And you want to claim it back, get in contact with us and we'll be able to give that back to you. But it's lost and now it's found. And in a few moments we're going to hear a story just all about that. It comes from Luke chapter 15. Actually, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three different parables about lost. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Today we're going to look at the lost son. He was lost, but now he is found. And there's a little truth for each one of us. No matter where we are, what we think we have done, the God that we worship is able to find us and bring us home. We're going to hear that Bible passage read now. It comes from Luke chapter 15.
This morning's reading is from Luke chapter 15, reading verses 11 to 31. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided the property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never give me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.
So here's a story of a son. A son that sees his dad. A son that sees his dad has been successful. And rather than wait for what might come, he decides that he wants to have a conversation with his father and receive his inheritance right now. Receive those things that he believes is due to him. That sense of entitlement, and he wants it now. The instant culture that we live in, right? Well, that was a parable told by Jesus just over 2,000 years ago. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In other words, Jesus is using the everyday occurrences to speak about the things that will last forever. See, that story of the son wanting what's due to him could happen today. In the instant culture that we live in, increasingly our culture wants the instant gratification right here, right now, and increasingly there's a sense of entitlement that I want it now because I deserve it. See, this story of the lost son, this sense of entitlement where he comes and he says to the father, Look, father, I know this is all going to be mine one day, so just give it to me now. And the father gives him his inheritance. And the son disappears off and he spends it. He uses it to help get new friends. And the new friends are attracted to the lifestyle that he is able to have with all of this money. But then the money runs out. And whenever the money runs out, the friends that he thought he had begin to leave him and move away from him. And then the thing that happens is this. If we've listened and heard the story, we see in the story in verse 14, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. After all his money was gone, a sense of entitlement had disappeared. He had to work for money. And whenever he was working for it, he wanted to eat the food that he was feeding to the pigs, because he had so little that he was so hungry. You see, that's often what we focus on in this story. That this son who wanted this entitlement and this inheritance was lost. Lost in his own making, if you like. But you see, there wasn't just one son in this story. There was two. And often we see the second one as the bitter one. The first one wanted his inheritance now. He wanted the cash. Verse 12. The younger one said to the father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." And so he divided his property between them. The second one was willing to stay at home. But he wanted significance and identity. Listen to verse 28. The older brother became angry and he refused to go in. This is after the younger son has come home. And so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate it with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." So the younger one got his inheritance straight away and went and squandered it. The older one stayed at home. But he got his identity from the significance of staying at home. That became his identity in and of itself. He sought significance from the work that he had done. But you see, neither of the two sons focused on the matter at hand. The father is the central character in this story. He's the linchpin that everything else evolves around. And remember, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so whenever Jesus places the father as the linchpin, the central character of this story, there's something in that that speaks into our moment, into our very present. Neither son focused on the father's presence, and that's what was key. Because just one touch from the king changes everything, because the father in this story is God himself. And just one touch from the king changes everything. But both the sons missed it. They were too focused on other things, and too focused on themselves, actually, to see the bigger picture. The first one, because he wanted the instant pleasures and that they were too great for him, but they were only momentary. They only lasted a moment, and then they were gone, and all of the benefits that came with him, this new circle of friends, this new status, if you like, disappeared in an instant. The same as it had come in an instant. The second one missed the presence of the father because he wanted his place of significance to be seen by everybody else around him. He wanted the place of honour. And that is also momentary in our culture. The word honour no longer carries the same depth of meaning that it used to. Honour used to be a thing that was valued very highly. Chivalry, a place of honour was reserved for those who could take that place, who had earned that place, if you like. Now the sense of entitlement in our culture means that we want honour even whenever it sometimes is not due to us. And so both these sons missed the point. They missed the presence of the Father. And that's the truth that's contained in this story that cuts through the passage of time and opens up the culture that we live in today. Instant pleasure and the celebrity mindset of significance and honour is gone in an instant. It can come in an instant and it can go in an instant. But the presence of our Heavenly Father remains forever, because he is the same yesterday, today and forever. And so the presence that walked with Moses, as we heard, as we just come out of that series, Show Me, that presence that Moses sought so earnestly, that the nation of Israel had in the wilderness, that presence of God, that closeness, can be ours today through the cross of Christ. And remember, we haven't celebrated Easter that long ago. The fact that the cross is empty means that the presence of Christ is with us today. But I want us to notice something really, really important in this story today. Whenever the Father, the central character, speaks to both of the sons, after the first son returns, the Father does not mention his rebellion. Listen to verse 22. The Father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And so they began to celebrate. And whenever he speaks to the second son in verse 31, after the appearance of the bitterness, of the lack of significance that he is feeling, the Father doesn't speak of the years of service. He doesn't speak of the son's significance. Listen in verse 31. "My son," the Father said, "you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." The Father does not mention the rebellion or the significance or the place of honour that we seek. He only talks about presence. And the son that was lost is now present back with them. And the son who remained had always been there. The presence of the Father is always there. Whenever Jesus shared this story 2,000 years ago, he was speaking truth into a messy world. And these words of Jesus today speaks truth into our messy world. A church leader called Sky Jeff Danny says it this way. Jesus is showing that both religious consumerism and religious activism fails to capture what God truly desires for his people. Now, religious consumerism, the fact that we can float about and decide what it is that we want to do and when we want to do it and how we want to react and how we want to interpret the scriptures and how we want to worship. And religious activism, the fact that we believe our identity comes from our works, from the things that we do, all about social justice. Jesus is showing that both religious consumerism and religious activism fails to capture what God truly desires for his people, because God truly desires that we are in his presence. That's not to say that we shouldn't worship appropriately. That's not to say that we shouldn't be involved in social action. But primarily, we need to spend time in the Father's presence. See, what God truly desires for his people is that we capture the beauty of his presence. And the only way we can do that is that we spend time in his presence. And that takes a lot of hard work, actually, because all of the distractions around us will come into our minds and we'll shift our focus and we'll try to crowd out that silence that God desires that we have. But whenever we spend time in God's presence, we begin to relish the beauty of it. The same as whenever we get back to the beach or the moors, or we get back to wherever it is that is our favourite place in Northern Ireland or across the world, we will see it with new beauty. Whenever we spend time in God's presence, we will see it with a newfound beauty. So in this world that has currently been turned upside down, the Father is still waiting. Because that's often the part of this story that we hear spoken about. The father stood and waited for the lost son to return. And I haven't focused a lot on that today. But just for a moment, listen to verse 20. So he got up, and the son went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. The father stood waiting in the middle of the mess. And that's really significant because actually in this culture, whenever someone who had rejected their family, had rejected their cultural identity, had rejected the unit that they had grown up in and had left that village and had gone out of it to squander their inheritance. Often whenever that individual tried to return, and that's why there's such a debate in this first son's head of whether he should return or not return, and whenever he repeated the words of what he was going to say to his father over and over again, he knew what could happen, because whenever they returned to the village, the elders of the village would often meet them at the boundary and would say, no, you're not allowed to return. You spurned us and now we spurn you. You burned your bridges, so you stay away. And so the father stood waiting, stood looking, stood watching, because he knew he had to get to his son first before the village elders did. He knew that if he welcomed his son back first, the others in the village could say nothing. That's why he ran to meet him. That's why he hugged him and he kissed him and he jumped with joy whenever he saw him. In the middle of the mess, the father stood waiting. In the middle of the mess of the first son, the father stood waiting. In the middle of the mess of the second son, the father was always present. He was always there. The father stands waiting today. Are you up for returning to him? Are you up for recognizing him and his presence with you? Are you grumbling behind the scenes? Or are you recklessly throwing yourself at a father who neither mentions your rebellion nor your seeking of significance, but who stands waiting to welcome you home, the preacher included? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are the one who stands waiting, that you know us and you love us. Help us to learn the art of waiting for you. Give us a spirit of strength today, of courage today, that would recklessly run towards you. In the knowledge that even in our rebellion, you offer us forgiveness. That even in our self-importance, you show us that you are everything. And you begin a moment of transformation in us, just as your word says. We're not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds in Christ Jesus. So Lord, help us. As we pray, we want to pray for the mess that is around us today. For a world that seems to be in a spiral. For a world of uncertainty. And we pause to pray and to seek, just as that psalm encouraged us at the beginning of this service, to seek the Lord as our refuge. To ask that he would turn his ear quickly to hear our prayer. So we take a moment to pray into the things where we need the Lord's presence. And we continue to pray for those frontline workers who offer the services all around us every day. Give them strength and courage and refuge, we pray, Lord. We thank you for them. Whoever they are, whatever role they are playing. We continue to pray for wisdom and discernment for our political leaders, especially at this time as they discuss what measures will take place. Whether they lift lockdown or whether it maintains or continues, those decisions will always have to be made. Give them wisdom beyond their learning, beyond their human capacity. For those that know you, Lord, at Westminster or at Stormont, Lord, give them a boldness to speak a prophetic word into the midst of these conversations. And we continue to pray for those who are unwell in hospital. Whether that's because of a COVID-19 related illness, or whether that's because of another health complication. We pray for those who grieve today. Those who grieve in a world that is strange. We pray for strength and for peace. And we want to pray for our community, continuing to seek that we be his hands and his feet in the streets around us. As we call to mind the street that we live on, walk on, go to work on, buy our milk on, whatever it is, that we be his hands and his feet in that place. We praise you, mighty Father, for all that you have done. We praise you that you are sovereign and in control. And we praise you that you are present with us right here, right now, in the precious and beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, if you need anything, you can contact us at info@deravolgi.com or you can phone us on 028-92-528242. And if we can help, we would love to be able to do that for you. We'll finish today with a colleague that's appointed for today. Lord of all life and power, who through the mighty resurrection of your Son overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in him, grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, may reign with him in glory. To him, with you and the Holy Spirit, be praise and honour, glory and might, now and in all eternity. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to our service. Don't forget to join us again next week. If you need anything, please phone 028-9252-8242. This is the end of the recording. Please hang up.